You're listening to Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. And the big news today in the footy world is that the AFL Coaches Association are looking for a new CEO, because the man who's been in the chair for the best part of the last six odd years has decided to retire.
Where is he going?
He is going in, I'm not exactly sure where he's going.
Right.
But what I did read, the reason for his retirement, cannabis. Now, that begs a question. What element of cannabis? Is it cannabis oil? Is it medicinal cannabis? Is he about to go and relive the hippie days? And
Jared, I'm uncomfortable with this. Where are you?
Well, let's find out where it's going. Mark Brayshaw joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Mark. Firstly, congratulations, but let's address this issue of cannabis. Are you going up to the east coast of Australia, up to Nimbin, and going to go and pull a few bongs, or are you going to go and become a grower?
There's a word I never thought I'd hear on Sports Day. Welcome, Mark.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Jared and Sam. Look, it is, I'm straight at 6 o'clock, so what I'm doing is... it's a good question. Of course, I have announced I'm leaving and I'm joining a company called Levin Health, which is a medicinal cannabis company. And it's beginning of next month, February, we'll be selling medicinal cannabis that you can only get through your GP. And it's targeting athletes and really anyone who's done a life on the basis of activity that is in chronic pain. So it's... Look, there's a lot of... I invested in this thing last year during the lockdown. And
okay.
Looked at it. I rang a few doctors that I knew of to ask questions about it. They all said that the potential of medicinal cannabis is enormous. And look, the Chinese and ancient world were using it apparently for medicinal purposes for thousands of years. The Yanks demonised it in the 1800s, and there's big potential to present an option which is safer than opioids, is what they say. So we're going to go to La Trobe University, Dr. Preeta Bruckner, mm-hmm. who will conduct a clinical trial to determine whether or not they are as safe as they claim. But in the meantime, starting next month, you can get it through a GP for the relief of chronic pain. And it turns out, believe it or not, I rang all my family last week, and my youngest brother, Robert, who's in the southwest of WA, was prescribed it by his GP. He's got something ending in itis that's a little bit like gout, and he didn't like the opioids, and his GP said, you should try this, and he wouldn't believe it, but he loves it. So it's in the line and length sector, and we are going to get La Trobe to prove that it's, with a clinical trial, you can, yep. The opportunities are much more significant than without it. So, yes, it's a...
I've got no doubt there are wide-ranging benefits. And I say that because I've spoken to a couple of players whose football careers have ended because of concussion, and they have benefited enormously from the ingestion of medicinal cannabis. So some people have had their lives changed around just going nowhere to all of a sudden their head clears, they've got direction, and away they go.
Is it just physical, Jared and Mark, or can it actually – I've heard and read of studies that it can be used to treat things like anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Look, I did a lot of research before I invested last year, and this is well before I was offered the job as CEO. And, I mean, there is an enormous array of potential applications. The difficulty is there's not enough clinical trials for the doctors to become supportive. But, you can see kids with autism, epilepsy, people who have got nausea through cancer treatment and lose their diet. I saw one incredible scene of a man with dreadful Parkinson's and stopping. Shaking. So, the anecdotes are very powerful. What the medicos need in order to wholeheartedly get behind it is what we have in mind, which is some research. So now's a good time to be doing uni research. The Australian universities are struggling with the international students being away. We've got a bit of an advantage on some parts of the world, particularly the US, with our law. And so we're off to the races, and they'll be able to look. We are definitely breaking a few myths, and people who know me and you guys started out by having a bit of a laugh. But my view is, if it works, and it's working with my brother, for example, and there's so many other examples of it, and we can prove it with science, then look out.
Yeah, I think one of the issues is how does it work? You know, where are the receptors? Where are the pain receptors? Where are the anxiety receptors that the active component of cannabis attaches to and neutralises or activates, whichever way the mechanism works.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I'm excited about this job, Jared, is, I'm an accounting commerce bloke, really. Yep. I know very little about science. So I'm, you know, at my age, it's a new challenge. I'm going to be involving myself with the pharmaceutical industry. The plans are to list the company, so that's another dimension, and university. So what I understand is the university clinical trial will, subject to it succeeding, then those sorts of questions will be answered together with safety. And, you know, that's an important thing that the medicos are all reluctant to wholeheartedly embrace without that safety net of a clinical trial, which is double placebo, all the, you know, it's a gold class bit of work we're going to do at the uni, and we'll see where we land. But it's, you know, it's really, I'm very excited, and if it works, it'll make a difference to people that are suffering chronic pain, and, you know, without putting at risk their, you know, an addiction or their liver, for example. So, you know, we're on the journey, and as I said, I'm really excited about something that for me is very different.
Mark Brayshaw, the outgoing CEO of the AFL Players Association, I should say Coaches Association, is with us, and we've addressed the cannabis company issues. Now let's talk about the job on the way out. What would your advice be to the incoming CEO?
Ah, that's a very good question. I mean, I find the coaches are busy. The further up the food chain you get, particularly the senior coaches, are extremely busy, blunt, don't take their black and white, generally speaking. There's not a lot of nuance, so they like to cut straight to the chase. They'll give it to you straight between the eyes if they're happy or unhappy with what you're suggesting. By and large, they don't agree on everything. That's another thing. There's 18 very different opinions. But I have found them to be extremely hardworking, you know, wonderful empathy. You know, I've got sons playing in the game as well, and the care that they've got from the coaches has, you know, is just, you know, really profound. But the job is extremely stressful. The last year was very, very challenging. Even the ones that have been doing it a long time have told me that the challenges associated with the hub and having fewer staff to help them took a job from a high level of stress to a really, really high level. So I think that my successor has a challenge to help the industry look after the what I consider to be the people at the very tip of the spear of the game, and that shouldn't be underestimated.
Which assistant coach has been the hardest done by, as in not getting a senior job?
Well, I spoke to Brett Ratton today to thank him for his support and ask him another question or two. And I said, look, I hope you go really well, mate, because I think the assistant coaches that haven't, current assistant coaches that have done the job before need to be looked upon more favourably.
Yep.
And if you look in the Northern Hemisphere, they respect experience much more so than we appear to do. So Rats has got a bit of it. He's obviously made a great start. So, you know, there's that cohort. You know, to be quite honest, Jared, those that get the job too early are the ones that are shabbily treated. And I won't name any names, but, you know, we've all got examples of aspiring, bright, hardworking assistant coaches that get the job too early. And I can remember when I first got this job, spending a long time talking to Mick Malthouse, who was at Carlton at the time. And, you know, he just said when he started, he was straight out of the game at Footscray. Yep. And it was a horse of an entirely different colour. So all the messages I got from Mick and Alistair Clarkson and Neil Danaher, and, you know, John Warfield was our chairman, Dennis Pagan, do not be in a hurry to get your first job.
Yep.
And you should assume it's going to be a last one. So my heart goes out for those coaches that have put their hand up and have fallen over because they're not ready. And I think the industry owes an obligation to balance that enthusiasm and respect the fact that some of the coaches that have been there before will be much better the second time round. And I think that's a trend that I hope the industry picks up.
Mark, forgive me if you've talked about this already. I've been on break until this week. When did you first become aware that Damien Hardwick was having a relationship with a younger staff member? And did you have any involvement in the process between what was going on internally at the club?
I became aware of it when everybody else did, literally via the social media chat a little while ago. So therefore, I had no involvement with it at all until, and frankly, I haven't spoken to the club. I've spoken to behind the scenes to Damien to offer the support that we can, you know. Look, whenever a coach gets in any trouble in the 6 years I've been in, or in trouble, in any difficulty, we are always on the front foot to help. And look, we're not marriage counsellors, but behind the scenes we can, grease the wheels of commerce a little bit and pull a few levers and help in one way, shape or form. And throughout my time, that's happened, without fail, every time a coach gets in difficulties. So I've done that to Damien and everybody else. And, in some cases, it's always graciously received, but in some cases, we can make a real difference. But I had absolutely no idea what was going on. And I've been on the record of saying the last 12 months, and said it a minute ago, were the most difficult, I think, for coaches. Mm. But I don't think that's... I think it's a long bow to draw between marital stress because, to be honest, I think the statistics are bloody horrible in society about marriage.
I'm glad you raised this, Mark, because I thought it was absolute crap trying to say it was the bubble, etc. I mean, three coaches may or may not have had a problem in the bubble, but... anecdotally, there was suggestions that there was problems before the bubble. But if it's 3 out of 18,
it's a lot lower than society.
I mean, it was a lot of crap, to be honest.
I reckon it's 3 out of in my time. I might have to strong. I reckon I've had about 50 coaches, and those three marital separations are the exception. So I don't draw that bow. I feel dreadful. It's horrible for the families, the three families involved, because of the profile of the players. The coaches endure, but I think that's just a coincidence.
Can I ask you this, Mark? On the way out, you've spoken about how difficult this year has been. You've spoken about a lack of support for some of the coaches and having to do too much work. Well, the reality is it's in their hands to take less money and allow the budget to go further. So the question is, are they overpaid? And do you think you'd advise them to take 200 less? Let's say an average is about 600 to 800, there'd be some on 4 and some on 1 million and some on 1.2 million.
Yeah.
But do you think they should sort of just temper their requirements to a small degree to make the whole job a lot easier?
No question of that. I spoke to one of them today who said exactly that. He was told, you're the biggest number in this list. You tell me where you want to stop, because the bigger yours gets, the smaller your headcount is. And I think they all know that. I mean, I floated a proposal a year or two ago that to me the biggest losers in this thing are Clarkson and Hardwick, okay, financially. They've had enormous success, and their clubs make an absolute fortune. They can't distribute the money. Good luck to them too. I mean, I don't begrudge a club building its balance sheet, but we propose that some of that money sits outside the soft cap and is distributed amongst the coaching panel, particularly the senior coach, only if the club has no debt and, makes a big abnormal profit. And I can't remember exactly the numbers, but the Tigers, for example, went from X million to 3 or 4 million more than that on the back of the flag. And, I mean, look, good luck to them. I'm not denying them that, but some of that should have been paid to, in my opinion, outside the soft cap, to the coach, who has, God knows, and he was absolutely, he and his family went through merry hell to get to that journey. Mm. And if it was private enterprise, that kind of thing would have happened. So I think, of course, they're well paid. And what the challenge they're going to now is they've got to go back to their families and say, right, I've mortgaged myself to, in some cases, significantly. I've got school to live my lifestyle. I've got, I've taken a pay cut, just like everybody in footy has, by the way, everybody. So all the big dogs at City Hall, so that we're all in the same basket. But your point, the perennial challenge, Jared, has been the coach comes in with a big, this is well before the soft cap, comes in and gets a big salary, and there's not enough money to go around. So I know that, I absolutely know the coaches have often taken pay cuts to do exactly what you said.
Yep.
Because they know that in the long run, you need a really good strength and conditioning guy, or you need an extra pair of arms and legs or you want to go on a camp. So that behind the scenes, they do that because at the end of the day, they know that it's going to make it easier to win.
Mark, great to have you on. We'll miss having you on this program. Good luck with Levin Health. I'm sure we'll have you on again in some way, shape or form.
Thanks very much for your support, and good luck. Thank you.
And to you, Mark. Good luck. Great 6 years in his role as AFL Coaches Association boss. And he joined us for McDonald's with a saucy McRib and legendary El Macco are back at Macca's this summer for a limited time.
And don't forget, Scoop, the crown. You can watch the crown, a brand new digital harness racing show Thursday night.
This isn't the Netflix show.
That's not it.
I see.
You can watch it via the SEN app.